Hello, everyone. Sorry if this seems a little cobbled together. I had a surprise decoupling from my family yesterday, so that is weighing on me a little bit, but I'm just going to launch right into it. This is in three sections. So before, during, and post-transition. Obviously, the last section is the shortest because I'm still writing it, I guess. So, okay, here I am. Assigned male at birth. Like most of us, my body became objectified and gendered. My anatomy and behaviors were coded and categorized before I could even speak my first words. This would set the stage for the next 21 years of my life, where I would be expected to perform masculinity and eschewed for interests that leaked out of the clearly marked boundaries of boy and manhood. I cannot pretend I wasn't handed a privileged position, as people interpreted my body as male. However, I was, as I would find out, that comes with the bonus of the stigma of perversion for practicing gendered self-care and having preferences that are traditionally gendered feminine. The first time I invested in my gender was in grade 5, the ever-anticipated career day. I spent a good sum of my play money to have my nails painted by the girls from the class next door, and boy, I was thrilled with that. I beamed at my flecked blue tips, so I wanted to show it to my family like any kid would do. So after school, I came home loud and proud, and imagine my surprise when I was told that, well, I was an embarrassment to myself, and what would people think, and that my friends would laugh at me. And for what? A little bit of blue polish on my nails. So as it turns out, my family was the only ones who actually cared about that. But their legacy of reinforcing gender was definitely far from over. Forced haircuts, verbalized disgust at dressing in traditionally feminine clothing, and nightly verbal abuse were for anything that was interpreted as sexual deviancy plagued my years as a minor. It's really hard to not internalize that. So I guess I was really lucky to have friends who treated me like I was a human in high school. They listened to me when I said I wished I was a woman, and they didn't hate me for buying women's clothes with them on the regular, but their idea of my self-expression had kind of departed from normalcy in their minds. They had internalized transphobia, and so it reinforced my ideas of who I was, a misfit who could only really express myself through deviant behavior. So those clothes that I bought ended up in a shoebox hidden under my bed. College in the year of hell, so this is when I was trying to figure it out. From the first moment of properly exploring gender identity, I knew. I knew from the first image of a happy trans person living in their new body. It all happened when I stumbled onto a popular trans image board, Trans Timelines. I found myself exploring people's timelines, which are images of before, during, and after their medical transition. The thing I noticed is that they gained a smile on their face the most. So stumbling onto those posts kind of rocked my world. No longer were trans people the vain, scary, and perverse people I'd kind of been grown up told they were. Suddenly those thoughts I had stuffed beneath my surface weren't a perversion, and they weren't unnatural. They just might be valid. So finding that out, I still kept my thoughts buried for a few months while I regrouped, looking up competing opinions. I looked externally to figure out what I was. Some people said I was brave, and some people said I was beautiful, but the loudest voices said I was a pervert and a monster. That was really hard to come to terms with. So I slowly kind of came out to my closest friends and my partner at the time, and they were all as supportive as they possibly could be. Still, for the next year of that life, my life, including my semester abroad in London, I kind of fell apart. Suicide was a daily consideration. I frequented support forums, illegal online pharmacies, self-medication guides, and even a hospital once. To anyone considering going abroad, those aren't the international experiences you want. So I don't recommend any of that. I spent my time abroad having the thrills of the international life and the crisis of living in a body that was not my own. When I got back to this country, the worst thing happened for me at the time. My partner kind of ended our codependent relationship at that point. It was necessary, but it pushed me into a bit of a depressive spiral. But luckily, I found a therapist who loved me as if I was her own child and gave me sliding scale fees to work with a paltry work-study income. She was a second-wave lesbian feminist who just radiates compassion, and I still see her to this day. I began medical transition in October of 2015. And I started off low dose up until this February because I really wasn't sure what I wanted. I just was sure that I wanted something to change. I felt more comfortable in my body every single day, but I could really only be open to my friends about it, which is, it's kind of hard to live two lives, as one can imagine. So that month that I started transition, a popular trans author and storyteller came to my school to perform some excerpts from their books. Ivan Coyote, that's a name I'll never, ever forget. I'd love to read out a letter I wrote to Ivan right now. I haven't sent it yet, but I'm working on it. Hey, Ivan. Look, I don't know if you remember me. I mean, I bet you meet a lot of trans kids on tour. But I just want to thank you, you know? You saved me. You gave us all the gift of your time and your stories in that small college basement, and as I compressed my tall frame in the middle of those tiny rows of folding chairs, I lost all composure. I think I kept the noise down. I really hope so. But I will never forget the emptying heave of that cry. I'm sorry if it was embarrassing, or even worse, distracting. You kept looking me in the eyes, and I felt terrible about being such a wreck, to be sure. But when you butted up against gender in your stories, there was nobody else in that room. You were talking to me. You told me that I wasn't the only one out there. My stomach was twisting in knots, and I couldn't stop it. God help me, I tried. But I needed to be there. And you knew that. You could have asked me to leave at any time. You could have said anything you needed to. And yet, I came to apologize after the show was finished. I didn't really know where to begin. And the moment I faced you, I was met with your hurting, understanding eyes. You didn't tell me that my crying was annoying or distracting, and you didn't pity me. You didn't do what I would have done either. You didn't ignore it. You told me in your tender voice that my tears were good, and that seeing them almost made you cry on stage. Now, I remember you had just gotten your top surgery. Your chest was delicate and still tender to the lightest touch. I will always remember that detail because it made your next move such a surprise. You asked if you could hug me. You listened to a sputtered life story with open ears, and then you told me it would be an honor to hug me. And as I started crying again, tears spilling onto the rigid, angular button-up that suffocated my form, you wrapped your arms around me, and in a half-whisper you said it. Don't let the world make you hard. You autographed that with your contact information in the book you signed for me and told me to reach out if I ever needed anything. I wanted to wait until the right time to send you this message. I wanted what I said to be important, and I don't know that this is the right moment, but what the hell? I need to tell you something after all this time. I don't know what I did to deserve your love, but I've been sure ever since that even if I wasn't okay, I'd be okay. And that it was okay for me to want this. It was okay for me to be me. Thank you so much. You helped me make my body my own. About 8 months ago, I met some of my best friends who kind of come at gender from all walks of life. This is post-letter, of course. But they've been a really formative influence in who I am today. They took care of me and reassured me and helped me back on my feet. So now I'm out and I'm resuming life as normal. The rest of my story I'm kind of writing day to day, and I'm just so excited to be here and to be reintroducing myself to communities where I'd kind of run away from. So I wouldn't be here without the love of so many people, and I just want to thank you Ivan, thank you Robin, thank you Deb, thank you Jackie, thank you Nikki, Alexa, Eden, Sando, and Adrian, thank you Corinne, Adam, Ashley, and everyone I reached out to online. If it were not for your love and compassion and wisdom that spilled over from each and every one of you, I wouldn't be here. Thank you.